Okay, we're going to go ahead and have some worship. So here we go. Oops, hang on a second. Sorry. I realized I did something there.
What did you?
I had to share it first. You guys didn't get anything. Hang on. There we go. Try again. Got it set up.
If I ran away, your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes, but you have new mercies for me every day, 'cause your love never fails. Stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. The wind is strong and the water's deep, but I'm not alone here in these open seas, 'cause your love never fails. Far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side, but your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love. Love's like a hurricane, I am a tree, bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us so.
Praise the Lord. There we go. Let's go ahead and we'll start with some prayer. A few needs here. Vicki, how is Cameron doing? Oh, she didn't hear me.
Vicki, you're still muted.
Hello. Oops, sorry. Starting the message already. Well, we'll pray for Cameron. So I'm going to go ahead and pray for healthcare workers. And then, Jesse, would you pray for Hopi's dad and others infected with the virus? And
Gabe, my mom just called the nursing home.
Uh-huh.
And he's improved quite a bit. So.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Wow.
That's great. Awesome. Okay. Well, Father, we lift up all healthcare workers, Lord, who are battling this virus and many other things, Lord, that are still of emergency situations. And a lot of them are worn out. They're tired. They're working extra shifts. And Lord, they're putting them and their family at risk, Lord, of infection. So, Father, we pray again for your hand of protection to be upon them. Pray, Lord, that you would just give them wisdom when dealing with patients and circumstances. And we just pray, Lord, that most of all, Lord, that they would lean and trust in you. They rely on you, Lord, for their help during this time. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesse? Hello?
Are you saying Jesse?
Yeah, Jesse, can you pray for Hopi's dad and others infected with the virus? Sorry.
Sorry.
I thought you heard me say that.
No, I wasn't sure what I was hearing exactly, so that's why.
It sounded like Yessie.
Oh, Yessie,
right?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yessie.
I think so, yeah. So, okay, Heavenly Father, we pray for Hopi's dad right now at this. Sorry, my watch is going off. Forgive me. Lord, you have all of our hearts and minds in your presence all the time, and we knit our hearts together, we knit our minds together, and we ask for your divine healing to take place in Hopi's dad's body, and we ask you to touch him right now at this moment in time, and heal his body and rid him of any signs of this disease, this illness, this virus. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Yes. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Father, we lift Cameron to you right now, God. Father, we're not sure what her situation is, except that she is on antibiotics now. But God, you know exactly where her body is. And Father, you know what state her body is in. So, Father, we just lift Cameron to you, praying, God, that you would bring a miraculous healing to her body. Father, that you would protect her, protect this unborn baby. Father, we pray that you would just bring healing to her mouth, God, so that the work that needs to be done can be done so that she has no problems in the future, God. Mm-hmm. Father, we pray for trust on Cameron's part, God, that you have everything in control. You know exactly where she is and what's going on. And Father, you can bring help in time of need. You can provide in time of the provision that's needed. God, you are the one. So Father, I just pray that you give Cameron the ability to lean into you, God, that she would rest in you, that as your chest is going up and down with breath, God, that she would feel it enter her and the power of the Holy Spirit would come upon her, God. And Father, just touch her in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we pray for the world governmental leadership, Lord. Pray that you would just give them wisdom and a humility for you, Lord, as we move forward in these coming days. Lord, we pray that individuals would not usurp power just for the sake of power, Lord, but it would be done, Lord, for safety reasons and for the best, what's best for the country, Lord. We pray that you would just allow your hand, Lord, to be upon each and every leader, Lord, that they would look to you, Lord. They would look to heaven, Lord, for help and assistance, and that we would get through this crisis, Lord, in such a way, Lord, that people learn you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus' name.
Lord, we pray that the glory of God would fill the earth as the waters cover the sea during this time, that you would raise a standard, Lord, against every work of the enemy, and that your glory would be seen, Lord, in lives, Lord. And we know that you're working even this situation together for our good, Lord, to those who know you and are called according to your purpose. So, Lord, we pray for those who know you now and will know you in the future, Lord, that you would cause this circumstance, this situation, to work together for our good. We just ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and mute everyone. Does anyone have anything?
How is Phyllis doing?
Oh, just talked to her this morning. I gave her a call, and she's doing great. Her and Ken are both healthy and strong and blessed. Of course, she misses everyone, you know, but I asked her, you know, I said, do you want us to make it so that you can? It's like, no, don't worry about it. It's like, she just like would rather watch. I think she was watching Dr. Charles Stanley this morning.
She loves him.
So she's getting Jesus that way. So,
okay.
But she sends her best. She loves you guys. And Roger and Cindy couldn't make it today. So they told everybody, God bless you. So
Phyllis is getting her sacred TV, as that generation likes to call it.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, sacred TV.
Their sacred TV. Yep.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and mute everyone as we start sharing. And if you want to go ahead, you can just unmute yourself if you want to say something. And we'll periodically come back because Gate wants to see your faces.
I like to see faces.
Sweetie, no. So we're back in the book of John, and part of it is because I'm anxious to get into John 14. So we're finishing John 13, 31 through 38. It's been a while since we've done John. I think it's been almost a month and a half. So, but we're going to talk about in the end of this book the key concept of loving one another. And the scene that we're coming out of right now is where Judas has just been handed the piece of bread from Jesus. And Jesus communicated to John that the one that he handed the bread to, shared the bread with, was the one that would betray him. And so this is the verse directly after Judas leaves the scene. So go ahead.
John 13:31-38. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once."
I know. I read this several times, different translations, and this is one of those mysteries that Jesus is talking about, that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And if Jesus is being glorified, that the Father's being glorified, that this is God himself being glorified, is that Jesus was God in the flesh. And that as Jesus was being glorified, God himself was being glorified. And if anybody else has anything else, you can come in right now. But that concept of oneness and Jesus being in the bosom of the Father while he was still here on earth is hard for our natural minds to understand. But in the same way, just as Christ and Holy Spirit lives in us, mm-hmm. we're also in God at the same time. It says that we're in Christ.
Right. And even though the disciples had Jesus with them, this kind of spiritual concept was beyond the disciples thinking. Yeah. Because they didn't have the Spirit.
They had the Christ himself.
Yes.
But they didn't have the Spirit of God that was giving the discernment. That's correct. Okay, let's keep going.
"Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another."
So here he's communicating to his disciples. He's now calling them little children. And I don't know if he called them that very many times. But he's taking on that heart of the father right now. Mm-hmm. The father that knows that they're about to go through a very difficult time when he goes to the cross, and that they're going to be like in kind of a state of like, well, we know that they were in kind of a state of chaos, mm-hmm. and not really knowing what tomorrow was going to bring. Some of the group of them huddled in a house, you know, thinking that maybe the soldiers were going to come and get them. So he's saying there, just as I told the Jews, and we know that the Jews were the Jewish religious people, as I told them that where I'm going, you cannot come, that he's telling them that same thing.
Right.
I mean, that must have been hard for them to hear the same thing that he told the Jews, that mm-hmm. now he's telling them, where I'm going, you can't follow me.
Which, and they've been with them day in and day out for 3 years.
Right.
And they're like, what do you mean we can't follow you? Like,
right.
We've always been with you.
Right.
And so it's even more confusion for their hearts to deal with.
Right. Yeah, so, a lot of times God's ways just are so much higher than our ways. And this is a perfect example. Even though they had walked with him and he had told them, you know, that he was going to be turned over to evil men and that they were going to crucify him and he'd be raised on the third day, they could not get into that mindset. They were mm-hmm. still thinking that he was going to be the next Jewish king. Mm-hmm. So if we look here, now he's giving them a new commandment. And so this, I don't know if I'm going to go ahead and look at them. Hang on a second here. Got to see your faces. There you beautiful faces are. Yeah, no, he's giving them a new commandment. And I believe that he's talking about the difference between the commandments that they're used to, mm-hmm. the laws that they're used to. And he's saying that this new commandment is to love one another. And that it's a commandment. And if you look at even in John's other gospels or John's other epistles, he ends up saying it like 8 or 9 times to love one another. And the idea of loving one another is about really that at first he's telling his disciples that this is part of what makes them his disciples is that they love one another. We'll see that in a moment. Anyone have anything? Going. Oh, Herman. There, Herman.
Unmute yourself, Herman.
I can do it. You got it.
Okay, there. Sorry about that. I had 2 audio devices.
Oh, gotcha.
Do you think he felt a disconnect between the disciples? That was like he was giving them that commandment to love one another.
Say that again, the first part.
The disconnect. Did they feel the disconnect? He felt it.
You didn't hear me?
It was kind of echoing the first part. So what was that again?
Oh, do you think he felt a disconnect between the disciples? That's why he was telling them to love one another?
Oh, that he was feeling a disconnect by the disciples, that they were kind of wondering what was going on? I think the concept of loving one another was challenging. I think it's a challenge for all of us, even though, you know, it says that it's something that we should easily do because the Holy Spirit, God himself, has taught us how to love one another. But it's when it comes to living that out. But you got to remember, these are a group of men this time, mostly, that who are in the mindset of, like, you know, they're fishermen, they're, you know, tax collector. Mm-hmm. You know, these are individuals that were very individualistic, I'm sure, in those days. You know, they were, you know, if you want to call them men's men. And so mm-hmm. this idea of loving one another, I think that's why it was called a new commandment. It was a new paradigm that they needed to move into, that they needed each other. And they were going to discover in the coming days that they really did need each other. And just as we need each other. I mean, during this time, I'm really built up when I'm able to gather. Even though we're not gathering in physical, we're gathering in the spirit because there's no distance in the spirit. And so, you know, sometimes we have people in Texas and we've got folks from Kashmir, you know, but right now in Christ, we're all in one place. We've now gathered together and he's here in our midst. And so time and distance doesn't separate us that way because in Christ, it's kind of like it levels 100% this earthly realm and we're in the spiritual playing field. Does that make sense? Does anyone have anything, Vicki? I think you.
Well, I was just going to say, do you think you were talking about that because there was tax collectors, there was fishermen, they were different castes of the Jewish,
society.
That so their caste mindset was keeping them separated. They were not reaching out past their caste borders, and Christ was telling them to do that because we're all different. To be strong in Him, we have to love each other, you know.
Right. Paul said it this way. He said, don't see each other after the natural man, or that, you know, where they work or who they see them after the Spirit. Realize that beyond all of that, they're a joint heir in Christ, and that they have a rich inheritance in Christ. And if we can see beyond what this natural mindset is, because this natural mindset is what triggers us to treat people a certain way because of either, like you said, their caste in society, if we use an old term, or you know, it could be even the idea of somebody who's, you know, a homeless person that is addicted to drugs or something, and we see them in that state, we can then treat them in a certain way that isn't in the Spirit, even though they may not even know Christ. We're not to treat them as someone that's just in the physical.
And I remember the last marriage intensive that we did on a Friday night, Saturday. I can't remember if any of you guys were there, but when we got together and we had that time together at the very, I don't know when in the midst of that, we did communion together. But at that point, I really hadn't got the concept of what he said about before she's my wife, she's my sister in Christ. I understood that here, but after we took communion, I understood it here, because there's something happened in that communion time, and since it's continued, that I now understand what he means by saying, before you're my wife, you're my sister in Christ, or before he's my husband, he's my brother in Christ. It places a certain freedom, I think, within the marriage circle that we can take and pray actually for our spouse, or, you know, someone that's very, very close to us as a brother in Christ, like parents. I mean, you know, sometimes when you look at parents, they're mom and dad, and, you know, but if you look at them as being your brother or sister in Christ, I think that depth of responsibility that we feel for one another, I think it begins to blossom, and it begins to, I don't like the word mutate because we've heard that too much in the news lately, but it begins to evolve. It begins to, and just this morning we were talking about it, and I'm like, because I've been praying all week long, and he's like, I've not been praying all week long. And I said, hey, what do you always say? The two are one. Where I'm praying, you're praying. Do you know what I mean? And he may not have been thinking physically, consciously about the prayer because it was in me. I believe it was in him. I believe that's how God makes a marriage, that how God makes our relationships, whether it be marriage or parents or children or whoever, that we are capable of looking at them in a new context, especially after this scripture, and we can say, wait a second, you know, before that kid's my kid, that kid is a person for Christ. That kid has the potential that Jesus can give them that can just absolutely blow them away. And am I not feeding that, but am I nurturing that? Am I really acting as if they're my brother in Christ? And if we're not, I think through this scripture, it shows how Jesus said, you're going to need one another. There's no doubt about it. And if there was ever a time that we see how much we need one another, it's during this time, this coronavirus, because we can't go to each other. We can't be with each other. We can't, you know, there's nothing more that I would love to do is to hop to Gina's and give Gina a big hug, and then hop to Lynette's and give Lynette a big hug, and then hop to Mila's and give Mila. But we're not capable of doing that right now. But how much more capable is the Spirit of God? Way more capable than what my heart desire is for that.
Right.
So that's
what
he's
virtual hugs.
Yeah, but that's why he's encouraging the disciples, because they don't even recognize, they don't even know how much they're going to need one another.
Right.
He does. That's why he's addressing it now. And we do, because we've seen it since. And I believe that now is the time for us to get, I'm not going to say get real, because we're all real, but I mean, it's time for us to, you know, take on more responsibility of what the supernatural means for each one of us. I believe God is calling us. He's wanting to awaken us. He's wanting to charge us. Hey, you're more than what you think you are.
Amen.
You are more than that. And I in the spirit of God right now, I'm praying that forth on each one of you, that you recognize the call of God on your life, on your heart, whether it be that you're in a corner every day praying for everybody else, if that's your calling, or if you're called to be, you know, a person in the front lines to help and to do. And I'm calling that forward in you, because I believe in so much more for us than what we're settling for. We settle far too easily. And Jesus didn't want the disciples to just go back to the normal life. And that's exactly what happened. But he's warning them, don't do that. You guys have been together for 3 years. 3 years, I've poured into you, and you've kind of poured into one another. Don't go back to the same is,
fought
same
a lot
as.
Too. They fought a lot.
They did, but yeah. But God is saying, I've called you to so much more, and I know how much you're going to need one another. Don't go back in time as if I weren't even here. Don't go back in time as if I didn't even have the 3 years of opportunity of being in your life and one-on-one-ing with you and encouraging you as you encourage one another. Understand that at that 3 years changed their life completely. They didn't have to go back to the same old, same old. And neither do we.
Amen. What she said. Okay, hang on a second here. Let me get back to share.
They didn't realize they were already siblings. They were fighting like siblings, but they had no idea that they were actual siblings.
Exactly.
Correct. So a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. And if we look here in Romans 12:10, go ahead.
Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor.
1 Thessalonians 4:9.
Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another.
So right there tells me that we have no excuse not to love one another.
Yeah,
because God himself is teaching us. You know, mm-hmm. I think it comes back to, again, that the reason that we can love one another, hopefully, is because we know that we're loved by God.
Yeah,
because it says that we cannot love unless we first know that we're loved by God. To love is to know God, and to know God is to know his love for mm-hmm. us. And then easily, we should be able to love one another. Mm-hmm. And again, that word love is the word agape. It's the same word that we get charity and compassion and you know, unconditional love that does not judge, love does not put stipulations on the love,
right,
or some kind of, you know, quote unquote, you know, quota that you have to meet, then I can love you back, you
right.
know, but it's freely given, as we have freely received God's love into our own lives.
And sometimes it's not going to be freely given back.
Right.
It's going to be a selfish act on our part. Sometimes it's going to be all we can do to love that person. But when we can, and we do that by prayer and supplication to the Lord, like you pray every minute of the day, Lord, help me love them. Help me, you know, help me see the good in them. Help me to call that out. Help me to do this and that for my brother. When we're able to do that, I think it will be easier for us to show that affection, whether it's returned or not.
Yeah.
But it can be pretty hard.
It can be pretty hard. We're being honest here. Okay. So in verse 35, again, we're back in John 13.
By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I'm going, you cannot follow me, but you will follow afterward.
So here we have a caveat on one of the main reasons why we are to love one another, is that people will know that we are Jesus, that we are his disciples, that we're his followers, that when there is a love that is displayed that goes beyond human understanding, human wisdom, human intellect, human reasoning, you know, even to the place where it goes beyond human, any kind of human love, mm-hmm. that we communicate that we are followers of Christ. And so that, like you said, that's one thing that we need to pray, ask God for his grace, his supernatural empowerment, so that we can love one another. Now, I know this is kind of like, I don't want to say necessarily stepping on toes, but I have seen certain situations through the, if she wants to see, hang on, certain situations through the years where, because someone is going to another church, or maybe even another, you know, what would be called, considered like overall denomination, Catholicism or something like that, Seventh-day Adventist, that, and they believe in Jesus, you know, maybe they don't have all the same, you know, concepts that we do, the same ideas. Maybe they have more, maybe in some ways they have more of Jesus than we do. That might be hard for some to acknowledge, but you know, I'm of the mindset that as much as I know right now, that was not in my mindset 20 years ago. And mm-hmm. what I knew 20 years ago wasn't the same as I knew when I was first born again. And so we are in a process of growth and learning and expanding who we are in Christ. And so, but what I'm going to try to say here is that the loving one another doesn't just mean our little clique. Doesn't just mean our little, you know, even if you want to go denomination, you know, or it doesn't mean that it's our, you know, quote unquote way that we do Christianity. Loving one another means if someone calls themselves a follower of Christ, you know, and, you know, because even, you know, certain Catholic families, when you tell them, oh, I became a Christian, you know, like they go, oh my gosh, you don't, you know, you're not going to be part of the faith anymore, you know, and, you know, and they have to get an understanding that just because they became a Christian doesn't mean that they still don't understand, you know, what they learned mm-hmm. in Catholicism. Now, some people come from Catholicism and it's, you know, demonic at best is the way, or at worst, I can put it, because it uses, you know, cultish principles and stuff. But Jesse came from a Catholic background where they taught, you know, the Bible. They taught the Word of God. Yeah, they had the rosary and they had other things, but it wasn't all about, you know, just the traditions. It was about a relationship. And so Jesse came from that background. Not everybody's who is a Catholic was blessed with that. But why am I saying all this? I'm saying all this because loving one another is not just meant for our small group. And mm-hmm. so we need to make sure that our heart is wide and that we have love and compassion for all of the body of Christ. Past, present, and future, right?
I remember a time when Lynette, who used to be our worship pastor, was saying how she doesn't like to put decals on her car about being a Christian. Is that what you said? You did say that, right?
Honk if you love yeah. Jesus and that kind
Honk
of stuff.
Honk if you love yeah, Jesus. Right, but yeah. At this point, Jesus is saying, put decals all over your car. I want people to know that you're mine. He's like, act right, like I told you, and then put the decals everywhere so people can look at you and say, hey, he's mine or she's mine. And it doesn't have to be all religious, and it doesn't have to be holier than thou, look at me. It's look at them, at, you know, they're going through the same coronavirus we are, and look how they're reacting. Look who they're drawing their strength from. Look who they're loving. Look who, I mean, how is Hopi able to hold up her head when her dad has the coronavirus? Because she has Jesus. That's how. Because she has purposed in her heart to follow the Lord. And we can even look at that and be amazed that she's able to do that. So put decals all over yourself. Don't hide your light under a bushel. Let people see and know that you are God's, because they're going to be comforted in a way by just that knowing. You're not going to have to really say anything. I'm thinking about Myla and her job. Myla and her job, she's with these people that, are they Buddhist, Myla? Muslims?
They're Hindu, and they actually have an altar in their kitchen that they pray to while I'm watching and taking care of the child. And I'm like in a room with like spiritual warfare, like on a level that I don't think I've ever, or probably none of you have experienced before. It's really wild. Yeah. It's really wild.
But I really believe that in that they can turn and see Jesus in Myla. I believe that God gives us the capabilities, not for our sakes, but for their sakes. For them to be able to say, oh, wow, there's something different about that girl. What is it? And she's not really going to have to say anything, but down the road, there's going to come a time.
I just try to treat them with love.
Yeah.
I try to be loving, because that's what we're called to do. And, you know, they asked me about my religion. I said I was a Christian. And I said I wasn't. I was born into the Catholic faith, but I converted to Christianity. I gave my life to Christ. And they were so taken back that I was following a religion that I wasn't born into. So yeah. It goes to show how deep their Hinduism is in their tradition. Yeah. Like, they were like dumbfounded that I had taken on a title that I wasn't born into. And, you know, they come from past society as well. So
yeah.
I'm sure that with it,
but. But see, God's going to give us opportunity to speak into lives like theirs.
And it's hard.
It is hard. But when the tragedy really, really hits, he's going to give us the opportunity. And we have to be ready for that to happen.
But love is an amazing language.
It is. I mean,
communicating love to them is communicating God to them. If it's unconditional, and if it's for their well-being, and it's to tell them that they're valued, and that you honor them, even though, you know, quote unquote, they may be Hindu and you're Christian, doesn't matter, because they're a child of God and you're treating them as you would treat Jesus himself. And as you do that, you are communicating the gospel.
Exactly. Vicky has something.
My guy, who is a Mormon, you know, and then his daughter, who married a man who is Seventh-day Adventist, I see the difference, like, between who loves Jesus and who loves the tradition. Do you see what I'm saying? My guy loves Jesus.
Yeah.
Yes, and I have noticed, and y'all can ask Hope, I've been telling the girls all, you know, for the last couple of weeks, I'm not getting this. I'm having a hard time sticking him, you know, for the dialysis and stuff. But all this week, every day, I've been praying at night when I go to bed, at night in the morning when I wake up and on my way to work, and then praying with him before I stick him for the dialysis, and it's been working.
Praise the Lord.
Have there been little baubles and stuff in there? Yes, but it's been working. And that's awesome. But he loves Jesus. And even though he can't get his sacraments and stuff, he still loves Jesus. Mm-hmm. Whereas the aspect of his family, that they are more about the rules and the laws and the things that they did in the past. Well, they shouldn't matter to anybody because now they're under their blood, but they don't treat others that way.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, so there's a lot of spiritual warfare there, like Myla was saying,
right?
You know, in different ways. And I think that God puts us in places of spiritual warfare in our jobs, like, you know, Gina teaching it, you know, or working in a school environment, you know, Miriam and Herman working in, you know, the orchards and stuff, in the stuff that they work in, that we're put in those places because of the strengths that God gives us, you know, to be able to do the spiritual warfare there, even if we're just present there, you know, and he's in us showing himself. He has us in these places because he's created us to be in these places to help him, to partake of the spiritual warfare and to grow in it, in ourselves, and to bring others.
They're part of the good works that God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterwards. That must have been somewhat good for Peter to hear that part, right? So, go ahead.
Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times.
And then in Matthew,
Peter answered him, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same thing, said the same.
So this is one of those deals coming out in that's displaying our humanity, mm-hmm. you know, that we say, Lord, you know, man, nothing's going to stop me from serving you. Nothing's going to stop me from following you. Or maybe we make a commitment, Lord, I'm going to never do that again because you know, I know it doesn't please you. And yet what happens in our humanity, mm-hmm. you know, we know that Peter, even after he received the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, and he was the one that preached the sermon of all sermons, you know, that many people quote from Acts 3. I mean, we have this, you know, dynamic individual who was used powerfully by the Holy Spirit to raise people from the dead and, I mean, do mighty miracles to where his shadow would hit people mm-hmm. and they would be raised from the dead or healed. So, I mean, this is a mighty worker. Yet at one point, Paul has to get right up in his face and challenge him because he was getting religious again and he wasn't mm-hmm. loving people. I mean, we can all go back to, you know, old patterns and behaviors mm-hmm. and thought processes. But the key point here is that Jesus is not, you know, he's not scolding Peter. He's not saying, oh, Peter, you loser, you know, you're gonna betray me tonight and the rooster's gonna crow and you're gonna know it and, you know, and you should feel miserable, you know. Another one of the books, he says, and Peter, when you're restored, strengthen your brethren. You know, Jesus says, I'm praying for you. I've been praying for you. So Satan really wanted to sift you like wheat, but I've been praying for you. And when you are restored, strengthen your brethren.
Mm-hmm.
Then we see at the very book, end of the book of John, you know, the one of the very last chapters where Peter is being restored back to the place where he is being, you know, commanded to feed the sheep, to feed those ones, to love those ones. Because if you love me, Jesus is saying, then take care of my people. Take care of my children.
Well, and I really believe he's saying too, don't let this time of confusion and hurt and betrayal and all of these things, don't let that stop you.
Stop who you're going to become.
Who you're going to become, because mm-hmm. you're going to have opportunity not only to grow out of that, but to strengthen your other brothers in that. See, it's not, I've always said, we don't go through things just for ourselves. We go through them for the ones that we're going to meet down the road.
Right.
And I believe that with all my heart. And that, is it in Acts 4 where it talks about the two disciples that they had discerned that they had been with Jesus?
They could, 4 and 5.
4 and 5.
Yeah, when they were
in Acts 4, when they were arrested, they could discern just by the aura around them that they were unlearned men, but that they had been with Jesus. So
there was something about them.
People are going to know that we've been with Jesus. People are going to know that even if, like Peter, we deny him, it's at the end of the chapter, we mm-hmm. deny him, he still can use that very denial, that very hard time, to touch others' hearts in the future of your life. So don't think like, oh man, I and pardon my language, but well, man, I screwed up bad. I am never going to be able to live this one down. You know, I may as well just quit. This is just ridiculous. Because that's how Peter could have felt at that point. Mm-hmm. Peter could have said, when the crow did it the third time, oh, snap, I am caught. What did Jesus say? And he could, his very nature, the nature of man could say, well, he won't ever want to see me again because I really messed up. And then Peter not even come back to Jesus, but Peter had to fight his humanity in order for his spirit man to win. And sometimes we have to fight the humanity for the spirit man to win. And sometimes that's not easy to do. Sometimes that's really hard to do, especially when we have others reminding us, hey, look how you messed up. Look what you, why would Jesus use you? We have to recognize that that call of God that's in our heart and in our spirit, that's whispering in our ear, God's not whispering your call to someone else's ear. He's not whispering it to anybody else but you. Are you listening? Are you saying, in spite of all that I've done, the mess that I've made of this, Jesus, I beg your forgiveness, help me to move on from this and not be stuck like the enemy would like me to be stuck? Because that's what Peter could have said, and Peter didn't. Peter's like, he went back to the Lord, and Jesus said, use it for your brothers. Use it for them. Help them to grow strong in this area where you've learned it, you know, by the, as my mom used to say, you've learned it by the hooks and the crooks. Let them learn it by how you learned it and not have to go through it themselves.
Who are the hooks or the crooks?
I don't know.
Were they some neighbors you used to have?
I don't know.
I think it might be something with like a shepherd uses. Just being silly. Yeah, the point being also is that if you looked in Matthew 25 or whatever the scripture was, the point was is that the disciples, all of them were saying, Lord, yes, we agree, you know. And so I think it's easy to sometimes over promise God. And I think that's why Jesus is so clear, you know, to really not make vows, you know, to earth or to heaven, you know, to make promises. Because when we don't keep promises, it tends to break, it can break relationship. I don't think it was so much more so that God's like, oh my, I can't believe they made a vow and they didn't keep it. I mean, he knows that we're, but he knows what it does inside of us. Mm-hmm. When we promise something, we say, you know, I remember Tim and all my kids, but Tim especially, Tim mostly, he drove him nuts. Steven just got used to it. But my kids would ask me, Dad, will you do this? And of course, you know, in the first years of Dad, you know, I would say, oh yeah, I'd do it. And then I realized I couldn't do it and they were disappointed. So I said, okay, well, I've solved this problem. I'm not going to promise anything until I know I can do it. Unless, you know, something, you know, major happens and they know why we couldn't do it. But just not because I just got busy and I forgot. It was, they would say, Dad, can we do this Saturday? I don't know. I'll check it out. No, but I mean, can you do it? And I would say, I'm not sure. And then, you know, they would ask again that week. And remember, I would say, and then maybe they'd ask me on Friday night, say, yes, we can do that tomorrow. We will do that. And I knew that I was making, it's just one way that I kept from disappointing my kids. You know, that was, believe me, I gave them many other reasons to be disappointed in me. But that was one thing that I did work on, that when I gave them my word, they'd be able to trust what I said. I remember when we were talking about, you know, that before you're my wife, you know, you're my sister in Lord. Well, same thing with our children. Before they're these gifts of God, gifts that God has given us and trusted us with to help mold them and shape their hearts and their lives. Before that, I mean, because this is just, that's just the temporal part of them. Mm-hmm. Before that, they're really going to be in eternity. Our brothers and sisters, they're going to be co-heirs in Christ. And I know that's hard for some people to wrap their mind around, but it's good when you do, because it can help you treat them at times from a different mindset than just, you're my kid and I'm just going to, you know, beat you because, you know, you're making me mad. You know, Not that that can't happen. But anyway.
Whoop the tar out of you.
Whoop the tar. Anyway, what I've done is, and you know, I started in with Stephen. I used to call Stephen, as he got like 17, 18, I started calling him bro. And you know, one time I think, you know, he asked me and I said, well, you know, you're my brother in Christ, you know, but I'm also your son. But I said, sometimes I just refer to you as bro. Well, Tim hates it when I call him bro. I'm your son. It's like I said, but it's, well, I'm not calling you bro like I'm calling, you know, bro.
Jesse bro.
Like, well, not even that, because a lot of times I call Jesse bro also because of, he's my brother in Christ, you know.
But, and your best friend.
Huh?
And your best friend. Best
friend. Right. But the point I'm trying to make is that eternally you're going to be a brother in Christ. And the thing is that if we can't truly start living this life from a spiritual mindset, like you were saying, mm-hmm. and understanding that that every day carries the weight of eternity, not just today. Mm-hmm. That how we conduct ourselves is making a way of a place for us in eternity, mm-hmm. not just for us, but for those that we're affecting mm-hmm. by our conduct in our lives. And so that's what Jesus was really trying to get to when he said, love one another. That it wasn't just about loving one another for today. It's about, this is going to build something up in you if you learn to yield to the Holy Spirit, because it takes yielding to the Holy Spirit. Because how many know, sometimes it's not easy to love people. They're different from us. Maybe they got different personalities. They're from, you know, different backgrounds and experiences. And so they don't handle things the same way we would. And so we sometimes tend to lean on that natural understanding, and we treat them from that instead of from the mind of Christ.
Love one another was not about the other. It's about you.
Right.
It's what you can learn Amen. From loving somebody. Love one another is not about the other. It's about you and how you can grow as you love them. It's about you. It's not about them. But in that process, you will reap the benefit of loving them, because at times, if not all the time, they will turn and love you too, if it's another brother in Christ. But loving them, when that scripture says, love one another, you know, love one another, it's about me. It's about how I love. It's not about how they receive my love.
Right. This is... First John 4:7-8, we used to sing a song, beloved, let us love one another. Lynette could sing it, I'm sure. Right? Yeah, there she goes. Yeah. But it says, this is the Passion Translation. Those who are loved by God, let his love continually pour from you to one another. I love that. Pour. You know, it says that God's love is poured out into mm-hmm. our hearts, because God is love. Everyone who loves is fathered by God and experiences an intimate knowledge of him. The one who doesn't love has yet to know God, for God is love. See, if we truly know God, we know love then. We know that we are loved. And as we know that we are loved, guess what? We can love those who aren't the easiest to love. Because if God loves us in our nasty condition, how many know that your condition is still not too good sometimes? Hello. Guilty as charged. But God loves us in our condition. He doesn't love us, you know.
He loves us in spite of us.
He loves us in spite of us. He just loves us because he loves. And he loves us because we are loved. And he can't do anything else. And so once we realize that we're loved in this condition, we can love others in their condition. And guess what? We then show the world that we're his disciples. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. I've disappeared. I'd like to add a little something here.
Oh, absolutely. And
that is, as I have hopefully made forward progress in my Christian walk and the sanctification process, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the things, one of the lessons that has really helped me to respond differently to my own family members, my loved ones, including mom and dad, where as a young rebellious son of theirs, the first thought was, oh, they're always trying to tell me what to do and how to be, you know, and there's rebellion in all of us a little bit, I think, to yep. this is my dad, but this is also my brother in Christ. Mm-hmm. This is my mom, but this is also my sister in Christ. And so responding back in that fashion has really changed the relationship a great deal, rather than one of confrontation to one of love. And sometimes possibly these are the hardest relationships to convert into that manner. We find it easy to love a stranger on the street, but not our own loved ones, not our own family. That's yeah. it.
Yeah, that's good. Amen. Anyone else? Myla. Go ahead, Myla.
And on that same role, just, you know, like, sometimes we can get caught in our earthly relationship to anyone, you know, like children, parents. Yeah. And if we really start thinking from a spiritual perspective that they're our brother or sister, it's like you can almost hear the chains breaking. Because those titles are boxes, and we're not called, you know what I mean? We're not called to be in the box of earth. We're called to be in the world, but not of that box.
Well said. Mm-hmm. Well said. You know? Amen.
So once we really stop thinking like, well, that's just the way my dad is, or that's just the way my mom is, or just like, no, but what can I pray for them, regardless of how it's going to affect our earthly relationship? And that's the hardest part, is how it's going to affect the earthly relationship. Mm-hmm. Stop thinking about how it's going to affect the earthly relationship, because this world is temporary. What matters is the next life. What matters is heaven. So however they're going to do their purposes better for the kingdom, that's what we should be praying on. We shouldn't be praying of how, you know, it's going to make my marriage better, or how it's going to make my relationship with my child better. It's how is my child going to come to Christ more fully? How is my husband going to come to Christ more fully? You know, mm-hmm. how is my mother or father? And just staying in that, just get rid of the titles. You know what I mean? Just pray for people as if they're your brother or sister.
Because mm-hmm. it's all labeling anyway.
Right. It's earthly labeling. It's exactly. nothing in heaven. In yeah. heaven, we're not, you know, we're not going to go see our family unit in heaven. Heaven's going to be something that we can't even comprehend or understand. We're going to be in a spiritual body, you know? So.
Amen.
Amen. So in my relationship with Eric, when it first started, we all know I didn't like him very much. And Tim looked at me one day and said, honey, we cannot show, because Eric was on Tim's prayer of three, you know? And he looked at me one day and very firmly said to me, honey, we cannot, he didn't say we, he said you cannot show Eric the love of God when you act the way you are towards him. And at first I was like, I don't care.
Exactly.
There's that Vicky but, that I know and love.
Stop messing with it, getting in my business, right?
Right. It was like, you don't even know. But the Holy Spirit hit me hard, not painfully, but immediately said, that is not who you are. That is not what I want for you. And then so I had to purposely do things and stop seeing Eric in the way that I wanted to see him.
Right.
And that was hard. And so God is always faithful, because he would always put scripture or stuff in my face for me to see it. And of all the people, of all the sacred TV people, Creflo Dollar was preaching one time on the radio about, and also Battlefield of the Mind, Joyce Myers, had also said some of the same things. Stop saying, I don't want to be around that person, God. Take them from me. I don't want to be in this job. Take it from me. Stop saying that. You need to be praying what's going on in you that keeps you from having a relationship with them. That's right. And so
who benefited?
Both of us.
That's what I
both
mean.
Both of us.
Love one another.
And also my
me and you.
Yes, and our grandchildren and my daughter, you know, all people who know us, you know, definitely.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Okay. Well, I'm going to quickly post this up because hang on here a second. Yeah, we get this a little bit. So, well, this is if you want to give tithes and offerings, you can do it online. At you can also do it olfw.net or onelifefamilyworship.org. Or you can send a check to One Life Family Worship. We're in the Tri-Cities most of the time, so if you send it to that address. So, but anyway, blessings to everyone.
We love you guys. See you.